Well, good morning. How are y'all? Was that not amazing? Give a hand to the band. Hope that God is glorified in that. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Mr. Whataboy. Well, as you can tell, I am not Chris. I could try. It would take a little bit of work, but I am not Chris. I don't have the hair for it. But he is sick. So let's go ahead and open up in a word of prayer and pray for our pastor. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for giving us this day. Christmas Eve, God. Lord, thank you so much for this church and what it means to every one of us. Lord, thank you so much for our pastor, his vision, God, that you have bestowed upon him. God, we pray that you heal him, that he is able to spend a healthy Christmas with his family and the first Christmas ever with his only daughter. Lord, we pray that you heal him, that he has a wonderful Christmas. Lord, as well as everyone that is ill. Lord, thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, if you don't know, we have been in a series called Hero. If you haven't guessed from the videos that we've already been looking at this morning, we're in a series called Hero. All right? And what we have been looking at is actually like superheroes. All right? We've been looking at superhero powers and what superheroes do and how superheroes react in certain situations and how every hero is vulnerable, and that's why we like it when a hero gets caught in a situation and then he gets out of it by using his superpowers, or somebody has to come in, you know, and help him and the day is saved. And we have this thing inside of us that just loves stories of heroes. That everybody, even from the beginning of time, we've always searched for a hero. Someone that we could go to that says, yes, you are the Savior, you saved the day, thank you. And even as children, we imagine ourselves as that hero. Because it feels good, one, to have superpowers. Who would want to fly? Absolutely. X-ray vision, yeah, that comes along in adolescence, but you'd want that.
You'd like to shoot lasers out of your eyes, teleport, whatever, have a big invisible plane. I think it was a girl thing, but anyway, big invisible plane fly around in.
But yeah, we'd all want to have superpowers, but also we would like to have the recognition of being a hero. But then there are times when we find ourselves hurting, find ourselves in trouble, and we pray to God, God, get me out of this. Lord, just this once, God, please help me. From the beginning of time, we see people in trouble, in distress, all right? Since the apple was eaten, and the fall of man happened, we have seen trouble fall upon man, all right? We have seen trouble, and there has needed to be a Savior. And there were prophecies, as Chris talked about in the past weeks, there are prophecies of a hero. Prophecies, foretelling that there will be a hero, there will be a Savior. Don't worry, Israel. Days will get better. All right? There will be a hero, a Savior. Now, we see in the normal hero story, let's go back to the Western view of the hero, all right? Because this is always portrayed the same way. The villain is cast in the color or absence of color of what? Black. And the hero is always dressed in white. Exactly. So we have from the very beginning, dark or black is considered pretty evil. It's dark, it's gloomy. No one likes to be in the dark. Why? Because we're humans. We were given sight to be able to see in light. We don't see very well in dark, and what we cannot see, we fear. Correct? Yes, what you cannot see, you fear. But light. When light is shed on something, you can see it. Your foe, your enemy, whatever you're going against is right there in front of you. You can deal with it, assess the situation, ask for help if you need to. But once light is involved, you're able to see, all right? So in the early depiction of a hero, you always have dark and light. Dark is evil, light is good, correct? We're all on the same page with that. Absolutely. In the same way, we see Jesus depict that in the Bible. If you would go with me to John. In chapter 8, I'll give you a second to get there. Go ahead and get your Bibles out. It's awesome when you can turn there. I know it's up here, but get your Bibles out. Look in there. John 8 and verse 12. All right, before I read this, Jesus proclaims himself as light.
He says, I am the light. He makes this bold statement that he is the light. Now, some people do not respond well to this. Some people do not want him to say this. This is a bold statement. We read elsewhere in the Bible that Jesus says that he's the Savior. He comes right out. I am the Savior. But Jesus loves to speak in parables. He loves to react to people in a way that they can understand it. And the easiest way for him to say, I want to comfort you, I am your Savior, is to say, I know you're in the dark, but now I am the light. So let's read. Mark this in your Bible. This is a great passage. It's just John 8:12. It says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. This is a very important passage. A very important passage where he's able to tell us that those who think they're walking in darkness, which is almost every one of us, almost every day we feel alone. We feel that we are in darkness, and we look for some sort of light, whether it is finding a good relationship with somebody or finding comfort in just in wasting time, all right? We try to mask the darkness. We try to find light. So it's either finding a relationship, finding a hobby, or for some people, drug abuse, alcohol abuse. Just make it go away. They don't run to the light. They don't even try to find light. They try to mask it with the drug abuse to just make it go away, go into a state where nothing matters, and it hurts them even more. They run into darkness. So we see from a perspective of light and darkness that we have a choice. We know that there are troubled times. There always will be, but there's also great times, especially this time of year. I love Christmas. Who in here just loves Christmas and, like, you use the phrase all the time, it's slow as Christmas, because to you, Christmas is so slow. It takes forever to get there. You're like, oh, Christmas is here. January 1st is going to be like, oh, man, I wish Christmas was here. We only have about a year, but I wish it was here. There's some stores. I know there's one in Memphis. That's my home, and it's like forever Christmas. It's a store. Now it has Christmas stuff all year round. You could have Christmas all year round. It's fun to go into those places just to feel Christmas because there's something about it. There's something about the way we do it here, especially here in America, where we have Christmas lights and we have dinner with the family and it's cold, so you can go in, you can sit in front of a fire and you get bundled up and you get together, and of course there's presents. And so there's something for everybody at Christmas. And it's a wonderful time of year. But why do we celebrate it? Why do we celebrate Christmas? What is it? Well, of course, most of you know. We celebrate the birth of Christ, the one Chris talked about weeks before, who is prophesied as the Savior, as the light, as Jesus proclaimed here later in John. So if you will, go with me, and we are going to read the Christmas story. And now I've got to turn there because I've lost it. So go with me to Luke. We're going to be in Luke 2, in verse 1. Now, how many of you read the Christmas story every year? Don't lie. How many of you like it's a family thing? You read the Christmas story every year, or you have somebody. How many of you have somebody in your family that reads it every year? Does anybody? Okay, good. We have some traditions where somebody reads the Christmas story every year. Because it's like, all right, we got gifts and we got presents, and all right, but we need to remember Jesus, so let's sit down and remember what it's all about. Jesus is the reason for the season. You hear it all over the place. It's on, you know, 90% of church signs out there today. I'm not joking. But there are traditions that we keep in order to make Christmas memorable. Bill, our children's minister, is over there in the children's area right now explaining to the children ways that he uses a tradition. And he said, talk to me last night about this. 5 years ago, right before everybody opens presents, he has a candle for everybody. And it's not a spiritual candle. It doesn't have anything when you light it. But everyone lights a candle and puts it beside them, and he represents that as the meaning of Christmas, the birth of Christ. He did that, especially for the people in his family, especially the children, to remember that, of course, it's not just presents, but it's also Jesus, and it's something visual that you can see. So as they're opening presents, it's not like, oh, thanks, Mom and Dad, and of course, thanks, Jesus, because that's not the first thing we say. Oh, who's this to? It's to me from Aunt so-and-so. Oh, thank Aunt so-and-so. And thanks, Jesus, because, of course, he gives us everything. It's not the first thing on our mind. So he's talking to them about how he uses a candle for a visual effect so that we can actually see something through the entire day of Christmas. And I thought that was pretty good. So he's talking to your kids about that right now and some other traditions that people use just to make the Christmas more memorable, because it is so easy to be distracted. It is so easy to be distracted. And I talk to this to youth almost every time I meet with them. I used to be a youth minister in McKenzie before I moved up here to work for 24. And almost every message had to do with some sort of a youth being distracted. And you know what? It comes down to that. It comes down to us being distracted every day. And especially as Americans, it is so hard for us to keep focused on God. But this message is not to make you remember the Christmas story. This message is not to say, hey, if you don't remember Jesus as the purpose of Christmas, then, oh my goodness, you might not as well not have Christmas, but he is the purpose. He is the purpose. So let's read the Christmas story, and we are going to see Jesus as he was given to us as the light of the world. Luke 2, in verse 1, it says, "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that the census should be taken of the entire Roman world." All right? The first census that took place while this crazy guy, we'll call him Quagmire, was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town together to register, of course. So Joseph and Mary, of course, from their town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because, you know, he belonged to the house in the line of David. So he went to register with Mary and was pledged to be married to him. She was, of course, and she was expecting a child. While they had been there and were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. How many of you have heard that story? You know this. There was a census that was to be given out. Everyone must register. So where do you have to go? Your hometown. You got to go back to your hometown. So, of course, Mary and Joseph, who already pledged to be married, which means they're engaged, all right? They're promised. Of course, there's no rings back then. They were promised to be married, but Mary, of course, was already pregnant. The Holy Spirit came down and said, "I'm putting a child in you, and this child is to be the light of the world. This child is the Savior. You will name him Jesus." So Mary travels, of course, pregnant. Could you imagine? I couldn't, because I've never been pregnant. They travel, but I can imagine because I've seen lots of people. And we have so many pregnancies in the church right now. If you're praying every day, remember, we have so many pregnancies in the church, so please pray for those women. But they had to travel all the way to Bethlehem, all the way back to his home. And while they were there, they gave birth to Jesus. There are so many prophecies that a son, that the Son of God will come, that the light will come, that the Savior will come. And it happens in a manger on one day. Now, this event doesn't just take place there. Well, of course it is, because that's the actual birth. But the birth takes place in a manger, which is most likely a cave, because that's just the environment they were in. The manger was probably a cave or stable. But that's not the only place that the earth was known. It had been prophesied. Shepherds, of course, saw a star, saw the light. The Magi, which you'll see in Matthew 2:1, if you want to look there. The three wise men, as we say. We don't know how many there were, but they saw. They saw through the stars that there would be a Savior. And they go to Herod, and a couple years later, they come and see Jesus. They knew that he was going to be there. And from that day forth, the world changed because our Savior was on earth. So many times, every day, we are looking for a hero. We are looking for the one. But you know what? This is what Chris talked about as well. Most people didn't believe that he was the Savior. Someone whose origin is Nazareth? This Jesus? Or as they would say, Yeshua from Nazareth? He is our Savior? Some hick podunk boy is the Savior of the world. I mean, if you go back there, he's probably a redneck. I mean, we say he's the son of a carpenter. which, by the way, wood was very hard to reach back there, back then. So he was more of an artisan. He worked with wood, he worked with stone, probably helped build houses. But this, I mean, this construction worker, I mean, my goodness, he doesn't come from a, you know, good line of people. Because we are told that he is going to be the king. He is going to be the light. He's going to do amazing things. And there's no way some just podunk boy is going to do that. No way. But we know the truth, don't we? We know that Jesus is the light. That he is our Savior. But these are hard times. Even today. We are distracted. We are distracted from the millions and millions of people who die every month from disease, from malnutrition. And that's why this church is helping build wells in other countries to give them clean water. It's called Blood Water Mission. I'm just going to plug that out. We take an offering, and if you want to give to Blood Water Mission, we are just this close, hundreds of dollars from reaching our goal to build a well to provide clean water. Millions of people are dying. Millions of girls are taking advantage of. Millions of babies are born with diseases. Millions of people have a problem with drug abuse. And millions of people are breaking the bond of marriage. We live in hard times, but this is a season of joy. This is a season that we can remember that our hero, our Savior, came to earth. We live in a time after Jesus was born. That is amazing. We live in a time where Jesus has already come. He has laid the foundation for a perfect life. And we have that to follow. And we have that to be grateful for. It is in that we have fellowship. It is in that that we can come together as brothers and sisters in Christ, share with one another our burdens, share with one another our sins, to be held accountable for them, to have a better life. It is your choice whether you choose darkness or light, because our Savior has already come. He has already given us the most amazing thing we could ever have, salvation in Him and this book. You have the choice whether you just want to, I'm a Christian, but I'm just going to stay at home. I don't really need to go to a home team, which is kind of like what we have for Sunday school. We just meet with a bunch of people in a home. I don't need to go to a home team. I don't really need to go to church. I read my Bible from time to time. You know what? That's great and all, but it's not healthy. You think you're choosing light, but you're not choosing anything. If you're not growing, you're not going towards the light. You're not choosing what God has already set, what Jesus has already set out. You need to seek fellowship. You need to seek a brother and sister. It is easy for us to do that, but we get distracted. I'm going to tell you a story. I've been to Morocco a couple times. I've studied Arabic there. And my teacher, first teacher I had in Arabic, his name was Dries. And Dries was a Berber. He was kind of a hick. He was downcast. People don't like these people. They live in the mountains. Basically, he had a hard life. But Dries was a Christian. One of 60 in the country of actual natives. Because it's an Arab nation. It's a monarchy. And the king decreed that you are born Muslim. And if you change from that, you are sentenced to death. If you want to be a Christian, fine. But make sure you're right with God, because we'll send you right to heaven. Dries was a Christian, and he spoke English, and he was a great friend to me. One year I went back and met him for coffee one morning in Fez. And Fez are those little hats with the tassel on them, but the city was actually called Fez. Met him for coffee one morning, big guy. And when you, it's kind of weird when you meet him, they give you a hug and like kiss on each cheek, and you just kind of stand there. Okay, good to see you. But he loved having fellowship with Christians. Why? Because Dries, once every 2 months, gets to meet secretly with three other Christians in a basement to have fellowship. And that's the only time he gets to see other Christians. That's the only other time. His faith is so strong because all he has is his Savior in this book. To go on, knowing that every day he could walk out on the street and be killed. Well, I met him for coffee that morning, and it was Sunday morning. And in Fez, there are international churches. I think there's four churches in Morocco. Now, only like usually French and Americans can go to these churches. I can be a Christian there. I just can't tell anybody about Christianity. I can go to that country because everybody thinks Americans, everyone in America is a Christian. So Americans come over there, there's tourists, and you're allowed to be a Christian there, but you cannot tell, you cannot evangelize, nothing. So they actually have like international churches. And they're kind of strange. They're like half in French, and it's really strange. But anyway, people come together there. And I was going to go to church because I've been there before. And I said, it's Sunday morning. It's been great having coffee with you. I'm going to church. He said, I'll walk with you. So we walk to the church. There's a double gated. We go into the courtyard. And I said, Dries, you're in front of the church. He didn't say anything. I said, well, I loved being with you, Dries. I'll email you. And I started walking in the church. And he took his first step. And he came in the door with me, and the first time he'd ever set foot inside of a church. Because if anybody had seen him do that, he would have been shot on sight for even going into a church. Dries steps in that church. We were late, of course, because I was drinking coffee with him. We were late, so we sit in the back. All right, this is the most amazing thing. I stand up and start singing songs. Some are in French, some are in English. They were just praise songs. Some guy with a guitar singing up in the front. And I start singing, and I look down, and Dries is just crying. I mean, his hands are in his face. I said, Dries, are you all right? He said, I've never sung to my God before. I have never sung praises to my God before. Because I just didn't know how. They didn't have songs. No one had taught him how to do that. He has never had fellowship like that in his entire life because it's restricted. We forget about that stuff. We forget that we have a fellowship here every Sunday. We have a fellowship in houses. We left that day. We pulled a car around the back, threw Dries in it, and drove him off because if he went would have walked out of the front door, a policeman could have saw him. We took precautions. But that was the first time he had ever received fellowship. And we asked him, we said, Dries, are you scared? He said, no. That was the most amazing thing in my Christian life, was to worship with y'all. And he said, I'm not afraid because God's on my side. That's the way he said it in his English. I'm not afraid because God's on my side. We are lucky to have a conqueror. We are lucky to have a hero. I'm going to read to you a verse, and it's in Romans 8, and it's verse 28 and following. And as I do this, I'm going to ask Ben to come forward. He's going to come out. Just hold on just a second, Ben. He's going to pray for us when we're done. He's going to pray for our church. As people, even our pastor at this time, are going through hard times. But this is a time of year where we remember that our Christ has come. Our Savior has come. That we have a hero. That we have a Savior. Jesus came to be born, to show a perfect life. But above all that, to know that we do walk in darkness. We are sinners. Every single one of us is a sinner. Jesus knows that. We all deserve death. We all deserve a life in hell. Jesus came to save us from that. Jesus came to die on the cross. Not just the most grueling death ever, but to take the wrath of God upon himself. To take the wrath that we should all receive for being sinners. The wrath that God puts on us that we are to go to hell. He took that upon himself to save us. To give us a choice, as that video you saw, the choice of forgiveness. The choice to choose the light. Our Savior has come. Our hero has come. If you need to make the decision to turn to light today, if you need to become a Christian, we're going to be standing down here at the end of service, Ben, I, some other people. If you need to talk to us about receiving Christ as your Savior, realizing that you are the sinner, that you need to be saved from the darkness, then please come and see that. See us. Read with me in Romans 8, verse 28. After this song. This is an amazing passage. If you have your Bible, mark in this. The title I have in here, and a lot of you do, it's called More Than Conquerors. I absolutely love this passage. I'm going to come down here because I'll probably end up falling off the stage if I don't. But I love this passage. It gives us so much to know that we are Christians. We have a God that will stand up for us. That because we are Christians, we can stand up for anything. That we are not alone. It says, and we know this in all things. God works for good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son, the likeness of Jesus, that he was the firstborn among many brothers. And though he predestined, he also called those he called. He also justified those who justified him as glorified. Verse 31, this is where it gets awesome. It says, what then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? Is it God who justifies? Absolutely. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus? More than that, who was raised to life and is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger of sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. Are we considered as sheep to be slaughtered? No, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Ben, will you pray for us?
Cool. I'm just going to ask you guys to stand with me as we pray. I just want you to join with me as we pray and just kind of agree in your heart. Let's talk to God for a second. God, that is such a powerful truth, Father, that we are more than conquerors. And it is not because of anything, God, that we do. But God, we run to you as our Savior, as our hero. And would you say, Jesus, we need help. God, in the minute any one of us has ever done that, everything has changed, God. And we have come into a relationship with you. And God, it is my prayer for our church and for myself and for all of us, God, that we would realize on a daily basis, God, that we are more than conquerors, Father. God, that you have set us here in Pleasant View, right here, or in Ashland City, or in Nashville, or in Clarksville, or in Springfield, wherever we come from, that you've put us right in these places, God, so that we can go out as conquerors every day, God, so that we can go out and tell people about who you are, God, the hero, about how there is hope, about how you have set everything right. And God, I just want to collectively just pray for every one of us in this room right now, God, because there's needs going on everywhere. And God, I want to pray that you would just help us in this new year that's coming, God, to just march boldly forward and remember that you have called us to a mission, God, to love the people around us, God, and to fall deeply, deeply more in love with you every single day. And so, Father, I just want to ask that you would just help us just within our hearts just to well up to that challenge, to realize that it is your power, it is your strength that gives us the ability to go out and to live for you every single day. And, Father, I just want to pray for all the needs that are going on in our church right now too, Father. God, our pastor is sick, and there's probably many more that are sick just physically right now. And, God, I just want to pray that you would heal them. God, I pray that even maybe in their sickness, Father, that perhaps you would just help them to look to you in a way even more strongly than they were when they weren't sick. And God, that you'd heal their bodies. God, there's a lot of things going on, maybe death or or all kinds of spiritual sickness or whatever going on in our people too. And I just want to pray, Father, that you'd work miraculously, God, in our people around this holiday. God, I pray that you'd be with everybody as we're traveling. Keep us safe. And Father, lastly, I just want to pray that you would just help us to remember that Christmas is really about you, God. It's really about the hero. It's really about the Savior. And God, that we would just rejoice in that. And so, Father, I just lift up all these prayers to you this morning. And I just proclaim, Father, that you are a mighty, wonderful, awesome Savior. You're our hero. It's in your name I pray. Amen.